Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let us pray. Dear Father, we come together in thy name, that wonderful name that you gave your uniquely begotten Son, your firstborn Son, and we would ask that you would watch over our thoughts and our hearts, that we might only say what thou hast given us to say, and that we might lift thee up only, and that our words might edify the church. Help us, Lord, to speak only what you have placed upon our lips, and that would reflect what we have been given by your vindicated prophet, William Branham, he who you personally vindicated by your very presence with us. Guide us this morning as we study thy word, for we ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I want you to notice that the righteous man is the man that is rightly wise. He is likened to a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. Yet the tree that is planted by the rivers of water will bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh, to be prosperous in the Lord, to not wither away and die off, or as we mentioned last night, attrition has set in and there is a falling away. But to those who are planted by the river of life, there is washing of water by the word. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but it is God that giveth the increase. Yes, there must be a watering of the planting of the Lord, and God has ordained the fivefold ministry to water what the Son of Man has come forth to sow. That is why Jesus spoke on the parables of the sower and the condition of some seed that was sown. Last night we spoke from Hebrews 6, and it tells us that the planting has to be watered, and no matter what seed is planted, the watering will bring it into manifestation. That is why I have said that you can be in this message for 20 years and not grow until the rain falls. The teaching, which is the doctrine, the rain. And when the doctrine falls upon the seed in you, it will manifest what seed is in you. The Pharisees looked to be holy and righteous men until they came in confrontation with the doctrine that Jesus taught, and so is it the same in this hour. It wasn't the miracles that brought the Pharisees to manifest their hatred for the word. It was the very word itself, the very doctrine that Jesus taught. Now, Brother Branham said from his sermon, End Time Sign Seed, he said, and now we know that any word sowed has to be watered before it'll bring forth a crop. But if the water falls on the ground, no matter what kind of a seed is in that ground, it'll bring forth of its kind. Because God said in Genesis 1:11 that every seed will bring forth of its kind. And when the water falls, that's Hebrews chapter 6, we find out that the rains come oft upon the earth to water it, to dress it, to bring forth the fruit. But the weeds and the briars and thing that's in the earth comes forth by the same water. But by their fruits you shall know them. So Christians are known by the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's what dominates a Christian's life. It proves what he is. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, goodness, and gentleness. Patience in the Holy Spirit. Those fruits manifest themselves through Christians. In Matthew 13 and 1, we read, that same day Jesus went out of his house, and he sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship, and he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in the parable, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell upon the wayside, and fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came, and they said unto him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks that he has. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing actually see not, and hearing they actually do not hear, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, or hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for you see, and ears, for you hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you have seen, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy he receives it. Yet, because he has no root in himself, he endures for but a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, it chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understands it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth, some an hundredfold, some 60, and even some 30. Notice that the seed which was planted in good soil is a seed that came before maturity. So what is good soil? It is a moist soil. It is soil that has been watered. It's soil that has access to moisture. It has access to the water of life. Look, the seed has to be watered in order for the life to manifest itself. It's not enough that you have received the seed into your being. That seed must be watered. From the spoken word is the original seed, paragraph 133, Brother Branham said, Now the seed must be planted, and then it must have water in order to grow. Now you say, well, Brother Ram, I'm going to express your thoughts on here. We've had the water. So be it. That's correct. You've had the water. Did you ever plant cabbage or anything, or seeds or something, or other like that? You usually ain't got no water. They just pour a little bit on it. See? All right, but now wait. What did we have in that planting time? The former rain. Oh, you say, Brother Ram, nonsense. Now, wait just a minute. You take the word former in Joel and look at it and see in the Hebrew word, go to the Hebrew and see if it don't, if you want to write it down, it's M-O-U-R-E-H, Mora. And get the Hebrew word and interpret and see what Mora means. It means teaching, amen. The teaching rain has went forth. And from wisdom versus faith, he said the seed was planted. It found its own root holes. When the water began to come in and break forth its life, the spirit, It began to say, well, there are 9 spiritual gifts. It said, amen, Jesus, same yesterday, today, and forever, amen. He still heals just like he always did, amen, amen, and amen. See, he's planted by the rivers coming from every side, rivers of water. No wonder he can't wither. No wonder he's planted. Some of them seed fell over there, he can't die. It's right in the stream of life that keeps producing. That's right. It's drawing its life right out of the water. Rivers, the New Testament and the Old Testament. Amen. Just being fed right on through. Oh, brother, are you going to love him? Amen. Are you going to praise him? Amen. Are you going to worship him? Amen, amen, amen. I love what Brother Brown is saying here, because he says it's the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's the rivers of life. So the doctrine is essential. Did not God say in Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 to 2, I give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall fall as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the shower upon the grass. Peter called those who were not ordained to this word wells without water. And James said that they are clouds, that's witnesses without water. And if they're without water, then they're without rain. And if they're without rain, they're without the doctrine. But look at the attitude of the true bride as seen in the scriptures. Rebekah, the bride of Isaac, the promised son, she even watered the camels that packed her home to meet her groom, Isaac. In Genesis 24, verse 1, And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, he said, put, I pray thee, thy hand unto my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, and thou shalt not take my wife thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? In other words, am I to bring him out from where you came out from? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bringest not my son thither again. In other words, the Lord doesn't want you going backwards. He doesn't. Brother Branham said that's where they miss God. They're always looking forward, always looking back. And so Abraham said, don't bring him back there again. The Lord thy God, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman be not willing to follow thee, excuse me, and thou shalt be clear of this thine oath, my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. In other words, don't bring him back to where I came from. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear unto him concerning this matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose, and he went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. And he made his camel to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening. So notice here, it's at the evening time. Even the time that women go out to draw the water. And he said, Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for my servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, and she filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, and he said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, drink, my lord. And she hasted, and let down her pitcher upon her hand, and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hasted, and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw water, and she drew for all of his camels. And the man wondered at it, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel of weight, and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. I want you to look at what the servant of Abraham said to God, the man that was sent to find the bride for the promised son. We have the same picture today. We had a prophet, a servant of God, William Branham, sent to find a bride for the promised son. And notice what he said. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. In other words, may this woman that will water the camels, the power that will pack her home to meet her beloved, to meet her groom, may be she that will come. The very power that would pack her home to her groom. Hallelujah. And you must water the Holy Spirit that is in you, that is here to pack you to meet your groom in the air. And where did she meet Isaac? In between his home and where she was. And where will we meet our groom? In the air. And I want you to notice when Isaac the groom took his bride, verse 63, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening time, and he lifted up his eyes, and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and she covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Notice, when they went to meet in the air, hallelujah, in the field, in between place, that's where the tent was. I really believe that, Brother Branham, the tent that'll be here, and I don't say this doctrinally, but I just believe that Brother Branham said, when I get my tent, I want to take plenty of time. I want to go between the lines. And you watch the resurrection in there. So I believe the tent will have something to do with resurrection because it'll type the resurrection ministry of Jesus Christ. Now from paragraph 94, Brother Branham said, from the spoken word's original seed, he said, God's word is just the same as it was when he spoke it back yonder thousands of years ago. The only thing it needs is water. Why don't we get a crop? Because we got the wrong kind of seed in it. How many of you all would like to change your letter? Twofold more child of hell than you were to begin with. How many of you Methodists would like to become Baptists? You Baptists become Pentecostals. Just bring your membership over here. Oh, for goodness sake. Tummy rot. Trash. Trash of the devil. There's no life in it at all. It's hybrid, hypocritical, dead, twice plucked up by the roots. Didn't Jesus say, every plant that my heavenly Father hasn't planted will be rooted up? Denomination or whatever it is, it'll be rooted up. God's word alone will stand. Right. That's what he said. Every man's word is a lie, but mine is the truth. And from Jeremiah 17 and 8, we read, For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful of the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And from Psalm 1 and 3 it says, And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Again from paragraph 95, Brother Ram said in the spoken word's original seed, he said, Then where are we going to? Where are we going to go? You better come back to your senses, but you can't hear it unless you're predestinated to hear it. We're getting into that. No matter if it falls like water on a duck's back, he's made to shed the water, not absorb it. The ark was made out of gopher wood and shittim wood. It's nothing just but hollow. Nothing in it but hollow. Everything's taken out of it. It's grown that way, the lightest wood there is, lighter than balsam. Why do they do it? So they could soak it with pitch. If it had been oak, you say, well, wouldn't oak be just as good? No, sir, it won't soak up nothing. It turns it away. It's a repellent. But this is an absorbent. And I want you to catch what he says here. And the real seed of God is an absorbent of the Spirit. All denominationalisms took out. All unbelief is out. And when the Holy Spirit comes into that germ of life that's laying there, it produces another seed. Just exactly, another Son of God is born. Amen. Another amateur God, Son of God, is born. Now notice he said, a real seed of God is an absorbent for the Spirit. Did not Jesus say himself, Blessed is he that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for he shall be filled? And what is righteousness but right wiseness? In other words, having a correct understanding. He that hungers for the correct understanding of the word, for the hour shall be filled. From things that are to be, Brother Branham said, now the only way that you can be a son or daughter of God, because you have to have eternal life, and there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God's life. Only one form of eternal life, that was God. Therefore, to be a son of God, you had to be in him always. The gene of your life, spiritual life tonight, was in God the Father before there was ever a molecule. See? And you're nothing but the manifestation of a gene life that was in God as a son of God. Now you're expressed after his word has come in you to light up this age. You are expressing God's life in you because you are a son or daughter of God. Therefore, you get what I mean? See? You are now made. You're sitting in this church tonight because your duty is to express God to this nation and this people and this neighborhood where you associate. Wherever you are, God knew that you would be here, because you have to be one of his genes or his attributes. You had to be. If you got eternal life, then it always was eternal life. And God, before there was a foundation of the world, knew that you would be here. And when the word or the washing of the word or the washing of the word fell upon you, it was expressed in a being. Now you have fellowship with your father, God, just as you have with your earthly father. See, you are citizens of the king, not citizens, but you are children, sons and daughters of the living God, if it be that eternal life dwells in you. That's tremendous. From Ephesians 5:26, Paul says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And from Job 14:9, he said, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. So water is essential for life. Just try baking a cake without adding water. Try making bread without any water and see how far you get. We are 90-some% water in our bodies, and without water, we die in this flesh. Then what about watering our souls day and night like God said that we should? And Isaiah 27, verse 3 says, I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. So get those MP3 sprinklers going every day and every night, and watch the difference in your growth in the spirit of adoption. In Deuteronomy, he said, talk this word when you get up. Talk this word when you're sitting at the table. Talk this word to your children when you're by the wayside. In other words, 24/7, talk the word. Get those sprinklers out. Get those tapes out. Listen to that voice of God. In Isaiah 44:3, and for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessings upon thine offspring. Now listen, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. So get sprinkling that water, the washing of water of the word. Get it on you daily. Get it in your heart. Get it in your mind. Absorb it in every form you can take it. From Spoken Words, Original Seed, paragraph 71, he said, what is the seed of life? The word of God. Therefore, for life, you can't come through a creed. You can't come through a denomination. You've got to come back to the word. Now the seed of life, all right, his word is his seed and his spirit is the water. And from Hear Ye Him, he said, you people here in this country, you're apple raisers, as I understand. You have a lot of agriculture raising fruit. You know, when that little apple tree is just about a half of an inch high, that every bushel of apples that ever will come off that tree is in it right then. You ask yourself, now, I'm going to stop for just a minute. You ask yourself, well, why? What? What's so important about water, water, water? I want you to listen very careful to what Brother Branham is saying here in this paragraph. He says, you people here in this country, you're apple raisers, as I understand. You have a lot of agriculture raising fruit. You know that when that little apples tree is just about a half inch long or so, or just half inch high, that every bushel of apple that's ever come off that tree is in it right then. You know, every 100 pounds of leaves that'll ever fall off of that tree is in it right then. Every blossom is in it right then. Every branch is in it right then. If it isn't, then tell me, where did it come from? Where is it at? Where does it come from? What do? You take the seed and you plant it. The little tree comes up and it's planted. You have to keep watering it. It has to drink more than its portion. It has to drink and drink and drink. So much till it pushes out. And it'll push out limbs. It'll push out leaves. It'll push out apples. It's in it. But it has to keep drinking, and every word of God is a seed. And if that seed can be planted by the inexhaustible fountain of life, which is Christ, the believer has to drink beyond his imagination. Drink and push out. Push out everything that you need of, because it's in you when you receive Christ. And we are planted together in Christ, and he is the inexhaustible fountain of life. So now I hope you can understand why it's so important to play those tapes morning, noon, and night. Get under that anointed voice of God to us in this day. From Spoken Words, Original Seed, paragraph 92, he says, see where it's at? See? That's why I believe the word. It's a seed. And if the rain falls upon the seed, it'll bring forth of its kind. Now, what's the matter with these revivals? What do? Make a million more in 44? Baptists, Presbyterians, whatever more, Pentecostals? But where is the manifestation of the works of Jesus Christ? He said, I do nothing till the Father shows me first. Where is that kind of a seed coming from? The Holy Spirit will water and bring forth that seed. It's the water to the seed. If the seed's been planted, that's exactly what the water's for. If the water falls on you, you say, bless God, let me tell you something, preacher. I'm so-and-so, and I don't believe in that kind of stuff. Then you're a denominational seed. You're just an old hypocrite to start with. That's what kind of a seed was planted in you. From why are people so tossed about? Brother Brown said, see, cast your bread upon the waters and it'll return to you someday. Sow the right seed and you'll reap the right crop. If you sow the wrong seed, you'll reap the wrong things. So don't listen to ministries that are just questionable. You've got a vindicated prophet. You've got vindicated truth. You got the voice of God to us in this hour. So get under that sprinkler and turn those MP3s on and just sprinkle, sprinkle, sprinkle until you push out Son of God attributes. Push out characteristics of the Son of God. Push out being conformed to the image. Push out obedience. Push out all the attributes and characteristics that would identify you with the eldest son in a vast family of brothers. From Show Us the Father, Brother Brown said, here's my interpretation of him about being the water. He is the inexhaustible fountain of life. You never ask him too much. You could never believe him for too great of a thing. He delights in you believing him for great things. You can never overdo it. Could you imagine a little fish about an inch long, way out there in the middle of the ocean saying, now, wait just a minute, I better think this over. I better drink of this water sparingly because it might run out this year. Well, if you could figure that out, then try to exhaust the fountain of God's goodness to you. Could you imagine a little mouse about half an inch long under the big garners of Egypt saying, I'll just eat one grain a day. I better allowance myself to just one grain a day because I might run out. It just might run out before the crop comes in, the next crop comes in. Oh my. What's he doing? He's depriving himself. That's exactly what the matter with the church today. In taking church creeds and dogmas and trying to suck off of them, instead of taking the Word of God and enjoying the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the things of God, why, his Word is a seed. And this Word brings forth of its kind. From the Spoken Word's original seed, paragraph 130, Brother Bram said, all right. Now, there's been three different kinds of seeds that's been planted. A denominational, Billy Graham. He was a head planter. Oral Roberts for the Pentecostal. Pentecostal seed's been planted. I'm talking about organization now. And then the Word's been planted. Now you have to understand, folks, I ain't saying this no more unless God tells me to. I want you to get this good and clear. Three seeds has been planted. That's the reason the planting's just about over. See? All over. Seeds must be planted before the rain falls. That's right. Or otherwise the Spirit. Now, you're going to disagree there. But hold on for just a minute, see? Seeds must be planted and then the rain falls to water the seed. Is that right? Now I want, is there anybody in here that understands Hebrews? Knows Hebrews words? All right, if you look it up then if you want to. And from paragraph 72 of the same, he said, Jesus is the Word of God. And it was bursted open, that life that's inside the seed, that this life, which is Spirit, watering, flowing over, the Spirit, over the seed of God, will bring forth the life of the seed. To bring forth anything else, there's some other kind of seed there then. Amen. Do you understand? If the Spirit of God comes forth to water the seed, if it's the seed it's watering, it'll produce the life of the seed. That's clear. Produce the life of the seed, for that's what it's given for. And from Joseph meeting his brethren. Brother Brown said, just letting it soak in real sweetly, isn't it wonderful? This is my time of service. The word's been sowed, you see. How God's watering it. Can't you just feel that soothing, refreshing from the presence of God coming down and watering it? And say, amen. Now, hear my child. I come with my word. I'll honor my word. I'll watch over it day and night. I'm watering it now in your heart. Can't you just take me and believe me? For all things what are possible, only believe. My, how wonderful, how wonderful. Just to soak in, just feel the water coming down over the seeds. What is it? The righteous seed has been sowed in your heart. It's God's Word. That's the seed that's the Holy Ghost, the seed that God promised in the beginning. You're Abraham's seed by being dead in Christ, and take on Abraham's seed and an heir according to the promise. The Holy Ghost comes from the seed of Abraham, which makes you sons and daughters of God. And from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said, I believe that this Bible, this Word right here, the Bible is God in print form. And I believe that the Bible is a seed, and those words are seeds. And Jesus said, a sower went forth sowing seeds. This is it. The Word of God is a seed. Jesus said it was. Then, if it is God in print form, and you receive it into your heart, and then the Holy Spirit waters that seed, it brings forth what it promised. Any kind of a seed you sow, it'll bring forth That kind of a crop, exactly right. We sowed in this great revival, going by a lot of intellectual seed. We've got an intellectual crop, that's right. If we would sow gospel seed, we'd have a gospel crop. And we need to get back to the principles, the Bible teaching, back to the Bible, back to the Holy Spirit upon the Word of God that makes the Word of God live. That's exactly what it was. And that's a problem we have in this message. Too many people have sown an intellectual crop instead of sowing a reality of the living God in our midst. From taking sides with Jesus, conduct, order, and doctrine, Brother Brown says, see, that seed was laying there. The only thing it needed was water, and the water had fell on it. Then it fell upon those Pharisees. They said it's Beelzebub. It couldn't bring forth nothing. There was nothing but there but weeds to come from. But when that predestinated seed struck the water of life, she said, sir, you must be a prophet. I know that when Messiah cometh, he'll teach us these things. He said, I am he that speaketh to you. She left that, that water pot. She ran into the city. She said she had something to tell. She said, come see a man who's told me the things that I've done. Isn't this the very Messiah? See, she took the side with Jesus. That's right. Strange thing, wasn't it? All the Pharisees and Sadducees didn't know him, and this prostitute knowed him. See? Why? Those who believed him and loved him and seen his signs, they know that that was the sign of Messiah. There's no getting around it. They knowed it. You know, it's interesting how Brother Branham said every seed that's planted, when the water comes, that's the doctrine. When the doctrine comes, it wasn't, look, Jesus argued with the Pharisees. He said, why can you not receive my words? He said, it's not my words. I only say what the Father commanded me to say. But he said, the reason you can't receive it is because there is no place for the word in you. You're of your father, the devil, and in the lust of your father, you'll do. He said, and they said, oh, we be born of Abraham. We have God for father. He said, no, you're serpent seed. You see, he said, because if you were of God, you'd receive me. Because he sent me. So you see, when the doctrine strikes, you could sit in this message for 20, 30 years and not change a bit. But when the doctrine comes into your midst, it'll prove what seed you are. And when you come against it, when you rail against the Word of God, it shows what seed you are. However, when the doctrine of Christ opens up before you and falls upon you, that rain, the doctrine is rain. And when it comes down upon you and you begin to manifest Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, when you become conformed to the image of the firstborn son, it shows what seed was in there as well. It shows that you had God, son of God's seed. Now you know, nothing happens by chance, and it was not by chance then that Jesus met this woman at the well. And when he spoke to her, his spirit upon the word watered the predestinated seed that had been hid deep down in her soul. She had come for physical water, and she left having been watered by the washing of water by the word. Hallelujah. From the spoken word's original seed, paragraph 67, Brother Brown said, a seed must have water to grow. Now you put seed in the ground, and if there's no moisture in the ground, it's dust and it won't grow in the dust. Can't. It's got to have a certain percentage of water or it won't grow. Is that right? The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth it life. See? Now, it must have moisture to grow. His word is a seed. Now, to prove that, let's turn to Luke, the 8th chapter, the 11th verse. And see if this isn't true or not. If the Bible said that his word is a seed, Luke, the 8th chapter, the 11th verse, and we'll see what God said about it, 8th chapter, 11th verse. Now, he goes ahead and he begins to tell, there's much things to say about it. Let's start at the fourth and just read on. And that, and when much people were gathered together, and there come unto him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the earth devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Hallelujah. You see, Brother Brown said, that seed that's there, but it takes the water, and it takes more water than you think it would take. In other words, you say, well, I just sprinkle here, sprinkle there. No, you got to gusher it. Because it's got to pop out apples, got to pop out characteristics, got to pop out leaves, got to pop out limbs. Hallelujah. And so get that water, just get guzzling, get underneath that sprinkler system of the MP3. Listen to the voice of God, and it'll water the seed that's predestinated before the foundations of the world to be adopted, to be predestinated to the adoption of sons. From the eagle serves her nest, Brother Ram said, you can't do that on a little creed and loose feathers or little sensations. You've got to be absolutely the real made-up eagle with something inside of you that tells you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that knows that He's standing omnipresent. And He watches over you. Nothing can harm you. No coyote can get to you. There's nothing can harm you. The angels of God are encamped about those who fear Him. 10,000 may fall at your right hand and 100,000 at your left, but it'll never come nigh you. He watches over His heritage day and night. I, the Lord, have planted it. I will water it day and night, lest some should pluck it from my hand. God's heritage, an eagle. We know that the watering of the seed in the earth is the doctrine upon the predestinated seed, because God said in Deuteronomy 32:2, He said, "My doctrine shall fall as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as a shower upon the grass." So we see that God's doctrine is likened to the rain that comes down from heaven and brings the tender herb and grass to life. And this life has come because of the doctrine, the rain, the blessing from God has come upon it. In Hebrews 6 and verse 7, in closing, we read, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." So we see that when the doctrine comes, it will manifest both kinds of seed life, twins. The doctrine will bring to life whatever the seed true nature is. If the seed is not seed of God, the doctrine will expose that. And if the seed of God, if the seed is the seed of God, if it's Son of God's seed, the doctrine, the rain, will cause the seed of God to manifest that it is Son of God's seed. That is what water does to the plant. When the plant is watered and receives light upon it after the watering, it has to expose what nature is in the seed. For Genesis 1:11 tells us that every seed will bring forth after its kind. That is God's law of reproduction. That is God's law of life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank You once again for Your word. We believe, Father, that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that Your Son, Jesus Christ, was the spoken word, which was the original seed, and You sent forth that seed into the earth. As Jesus said, "It's expedient that I must go, because if the corn of wheat is not planted in the ground, it abides alone. But when it's planted in the ground, it'll bring forth many, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. We thank You, Father, for the planting of Your Son, Jesus. We thank You for manifesting Yourself, Your God life through Him. And we're thankful, Father, You came down to this hour with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Yourself. And You have truly manifested Yourself in Your true character that we might manifest who we are. We thank You for these things, and we thank You for the watering, the washing of water by the Word, which allows us to pop out the attributes of Your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might become the manifested sons of God, even as Your firstborn Son was the manifested Son of God. And we know that what truly showed that He was the Son of God is that He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. Help us also, Father, to learn obedience, that being an obedient child, and as Your prophet said, being a child whose thoughts were totally and completely upon the will of His Father, that is what You said was necessary in order for us to come to adoption. So we commit the watering of our seed life. We commit it unto Thee in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make His face shine toward you, and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.